Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to The Good Life. I'm Guy Bauer, and every Saturday here on KNSS, whether it's 1330 or 98.7, it's always time to talk about food, wine, and a little fun. Today, I'm coming to you live from a venue that you must come visit. It's called Prairie Hill Vineyard at Stockamer Farms. Dan Stockamer, proprietor, gardener, grape grower, winemaker, bricklayer, stonemason, woodworking, everything, has done so much work, and it just keeps getting better. Dan, before we go back to talking about wine again, why don't we talk a little bit about you've had a lot of events here, and you're trying to get people to know that you're here and that you do fun stuff, and it's a great venue. You're doing something tonight that's really cool for only $10.
We have two bands playing. One's Tallgrass Express, which is Annie, I can't think of her last name, a really good folk Kansas country band from up in the Flint Hills. They're coming down. And then the Jesse Medina band, which plays rock and roll, they're going to be performing from like 8 to 10. And then at 10 o'clock, we're going to have fireworks or whenever it gets dark. We're going to start at 6 o'clock. We've got pulled pork sandwiches, basic food fare, a potato salad, and coleslaw. That's a pretty good deal with the band for $10. We'll be serving drinks, wine, beer, and mixed drinks. And so you're welcome to come out. We'd love to have you. You can show up at the door and bring the kids along, because the kids love it out here. It's a great place for them to run and play.
And that starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon?
Six. 6 o'clock, yeah.
Okay, great. And they don't need tickets. They can just show up.
Show up at the door.
And if you go to goodlifeguy.com, the address is there. But better, more importantly, why don't you go to Dan's website, Prairie Hill Vineyards, and if you haven't been, it's prairiehillvineyard.com. There's information about tonight's event. And the best part is you can see a lot of really great pictures of Dan's handiwork. When we left, Dan, we were talking about grape growing. And I think you and I know for sure the three phases of being successful in the wine business. It's growing the grapes, making the wine, and then selling the wine. And when I think back to watching all the stuff that you've done, I kind of wish you would have stayed in the making side of it, but I certainly understand being more on the viticultural side and not on the production side, and it's a happy marriage. The grape varieties you've grown, and I want to get back on that just a little bit before we talk more about the venue. It's such a challenge, and these are grape varieties that do well here. I'm disappointed Marquis didn't do well, because I think John Brewer has made some of the best white wine he's ever made using Marquis grapes, and I'm not sure where he got them, but man, you know, it was a beautiful wine, just a hint of effervescence, sweet aromatics, a classic aromatic white wine, but with great acidity. We talked about Norton. We talked about this new Ruby Cabernet,
Crimson Cab.
But there's a couple other grapes here, and one of the first American wines that really killed me flavor-wise and just set me to dancing was an Upper Michigan Chamberson. And it won the overall best wine at Jeremy New World International Wine Competition about 8 years ago. And that was in a blind taste-off for the Platinum Trophy, if you will, all double golds, and there was like 18 red wines.
Yeah.
And this Chamberson from upstate Michigan won. You've got some. It's such an interesting grape.
It is. And, you know, that's interesting what you're saying. I think the Chamberson, if I was to grow it in a more northern climate, might be better for it, in my own opinion. There are some grapes that do really well up in New York State and Michigan, and I'd like to, one of the things later in my life, travel around the country. I just love visiting wineries around the country because everybody's doing different things. I went to a winery once in Nebraska, this guy was like the Edison of grape growers. He had like over 100 varietals he developed himself, you know, out of seeds and everything. Let's just, back to the marquee, I had such trouble not knowing how to handle the black rot and the anthracnose. And then Kansas wind, those few days in the spring, you got 40-mile-an-hour winds, played havoc on the branches when they were so tender. They'd actually break them. And so I, at that early point, I was probably 2005, I just said, I'm going to take these out. I can't deal with this disease. And I threw in the Nortons, which were a standard. They said highly not susceptible to black rot and anthracnose. And in fact, I have had no problems with disease in those grapes. If it's properly done, we talked about the amount of work. You've got not only the pruning in February, but then as soon as these grapes come on, you need to, right before they come on, usually put in some sort of a solution that will kill any mold on the plant or fungus. And then once they start coming on, you want to spray them a couple more times. So if you don't have the time to spray for fungus and on the plant, you may end up getting black rot and anthracnose, which can just devastate the fruit. And so that's the tough part of maintaining some of these fruits here, in especially May, when we get all of the moisture and a high humidity. If that stuff gets started, you can't get rid of it. And then what happens at harvest time, you'll have bunch rot and other things that will destroy the grapes. Well, this will deter a lot of people from even trying to grow it. The reality is, with proper management, that you can easily grow really good fruit here. Now, what fruit grows best in this area? That's the question. If you're in Alexander Valley, for example, you see lots of Zinfandel and Cab out in the valley floor, but not more than 5 miles away in the Russian River Valley, you've got Pinot Noir and all of the other types of varieties that do better in that cooler river bottom area. So the microclimates themselves have a lot to do with what plants do well here. I think that the Marquis would be I don't know where it would do well. It didn't do well in my soil. I remember distinctly. That's why I took it out. And we were just talking, even here in Wichita, this river soil down by the river, out here we're setting up relatively high. It's more clay, loamy soil. Out in the east side of Augusta, you got the limestone soil. Every one of those terroirs has a different effect on the plant. The pH is different in the soil. And so I think as we go along and learn, we're going to find out what plants really do well here, naturally do well here. And then what varietals can we expect to actually produce a higher quality of wine? And I think we're going to be able to produce lots of fruits for the sweeter wines that is not so sensitive to the flavor of the fruit as much as the sweetness and the kind of way you make the sweeter wines, which isn't so dependent upon all of those fine details, because sometimes the sugar covers up the flavors of the grape. But I think we're learning. It's sort of like, golly, if you went back to France in 1850 and could interview those guys, they're still learning too. We're all learning every year how to do a better job with grape crush.
Well, you know, it's interesting. John Brewer, and you know, he planted some Syrah about the same time you planted your few vines that didn't work out. And you know, some of the other producers that are doing good work here, I love to listen to their journey in viticulture. Help me, it takes a village. The beautiful top notch winery up on the Flint Hills in Paola. Between the two of us,
Is it Somerset? Somerset?
Yeah, Somerset Ridge.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay. That is such a completely different type of terroir and soil issue than here. You know, it's really well drained. It's got good elevation, and it's mostly, you know, flint and rock. Yeah.
And there's a guy from France came over Prairie Fire up by Topeka, started the winery. I've driven up back up there and seen that. He's from France. The guy came over here and decided he wanted to use the Flint Hills as a place to grow grapes. So he's either crazy or he thinks maybe there's possibilities here. And a lot of people would say, you're crazy trying to grow grapes in Kansas. And I said, no, the grapes, what they need is sunshine. And they need the right pH. And they need the right soil. Now, some people would argue, well, if you get too much clay, it's not going to produce a good fruit. And I'd say, well, I'm willing to try at least and see what we can do with this soil. We have no problem with vigor. The grapes are just vigorous as all get out. In fact, if anything, they're too vigorous. But then what we do, we trim them back and we if we had the time, we would do the pruning like you talked and bring the fruit down a little bit and focus the production on less fruit per vine. Right now, we're just trying to figure out how to get the things going so that we can make this economically viable and emotionally satisfying. So you don't want to do it if it's not fun. What one of the nice things is, and over time we're going to have a community of people in this Wichita area. They help out at Grace Hill, and once in a while people have come out here and helped us pick. So when we do picking in the fall, which is going to begin, we're taking care of a vineyard about 4 miles from here. Our friends, the Meintzes, have a vineyard of about 3 acres, and he got to the age he couldn't take care of it. So we're resurrecting that vineyard, and end of July, they have Foch and other varietals in that vineyard that mature earlier, and then our varietals will mature toward the end of August. What we're going to do on the website, if people friend us or like us on our website, we'll let people know when we're going to do picking. We'll have them come out, spend an hour, 2 hours most. We're not going to work them to death. And then they can help us pick, and then we're going to put out a tub, and we're going to let people stomp grapes, and we will have sangria and bagels. So we're making it fun to pick grapes. And so hopefully some of your listeners will come and join us when we get to that.
Well, and making grape picking fun is a chore. Yes, it's fun for the first hour or so before it gets hot, before you get covered in grape juice and the fruit flies are all over you. And it's a lot of work. And picking at proper ripeness, in my mind, from everything I've read and all the great wines I've had the opportunity to taste, is so critical to making high-quality wine, no matter where you are and what kind of grape variety you use it. And to do that, wherever you are, is a chore because you have to have the manpower available on the day that the viticulturist and the winemaker get their heads together, taste fruit, refractometer, look at sugar content and the chemicals of the grape and go, today is the day, now is the time, or tomorrow morning we'll start at 3 a.m. and we'll start picking. Then you got to have the manpower, and it's just such a challenge. I don't know how Dave and the kids do it up there. It's tough. They have to get select volunteers just as you have done.
Yeah, it really relies upon people like your listeners and those of us who love doing the fun of it. It's like, well, do we go to the zoo today or do we go pick grapes? You know, well, once in my life, I'll go pick grapes. And we try to make it so it's not too laborious as much as it is an experience. Now, on the other side is back to the movie Bottle Shock, as I was telling you, which one of these days we want to do a Bottle Shock. We're just going to do the movie out here in our pavilion and invite people to come out and watch it. But, you know, you have to sort of get the romance behind the whole business. Otherwise, if there's no romance, you really don't want to stick with it. And so the romance to me is the fun of the people. When we have a glass of wine, later on you and I, it's the joy of the fellowship you have with the people that makes the wine even that much better. If I just drank wine by myself, I wouldn't necessarily be into this. But it's the fun of being with other people and sharing that, as well as sharing the experience of being out in the vineyard, that gives you a shared experience that makes it fun. And it can be fun. Yes, it is work. And for me especially, people that literally do it all every day or spend a lot of time, it is work. But an old friend of mine said, if you ever grew up on a dairy farm and you got off dairying, you'll never work another day in your life. Compared to dairy farming, it's not that bad.
Well, like you said, you have to have the fun, and farming is inherently not that much fun. It's a lot of work, whether you're growing grapes or wheat or corn or whatever. So cool. But to do what you have done and provide the opportunity for the average Wichitan to come out and see a working farm that grows grapes, and more importantly, take advantage of all the beautiful facilities you've put on the property here. That is a really cool thing. And folks, again, I'll tell you that what you want to do for sure right now is go look at prairiehillvineyard.com, browse around, look at some of the pictures, jump in the car, come out here tonight at 6 o'clock. For only $10, you get a nice barbecue dinner, some great live music, and then some fireworks as well. It is the 4th of July week. We'll tell you more about that and other things you want to do at the vineyard here after this short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.